I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I can't believe what I just saw. That line from Jack Buck popped into my head numerous times this weekend. I asked you last week whether or not divisional round could possibly top wild card round of the NFL playoffs. Because during the wild card round, we had four games that were separated by a single score. When the dust settled, four games and no winner, victorious by more than 8 points. And we had surprises. We had road teams win. We had the defending champ go down. We had some incredible individual performances, jaw-dropping moves. Derrick Henry, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, on and on it goes. It was such a great start to the playoffs. The most watched wild card round in years. Ratings skyrocketing. 30.5 million viewers per game on average. Well, NFL, once again, you did yourself proud. In fact, to use the old line from Happy Days, the NFL jumped the shark. Again, if you didn't see it, you wouldn't believe it. And actually, the sad saps who are only seeing the final score of Chiefs-Texans have no idea what they missed. What a weekend! I hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't see all of the drama, the NFL Network is now replaying games. I just saw Texans and Chiefs the second half as I was doing my final notes for the show. So I really hope that you had a fun watching the games, although I definitely understand Seahawks fans, Texans fans. Oh, it's like a stake to the heart. Certainly for Baltimore Ravens fans, and I hope Ravens fans that I hear from you, as vocal as you have been all of regular season, I think you should show up now. Not to mention we offer free therapy on the show. Vikings fans, I definitely look forward to talking about what we saw in these two doubleheaders, Saturday, Sunday, yet again, a roller coaster ride in the NFL playoffs. I thought it was awesome, though I can certainly feel the emotions for the teams that are on the outside looking in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. My Twitter has been going nonstop for 48 hours. And that also includes my comments on the Cleveland Browns and the reports they'll be hiring former Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. We knew he was a finalist a year ago. This time, Paul DePodesta gets his man. This was the guy that the analytics brain inside the Cleveland front office wanted to hire last year. But I'm still surprised. Surprised not at Kevin Stefanski getting the job, but that Josh McDaniels wasn't even a finalist, according to reports. And so there are lots of different layers to the Cleveland coaching search. And as excited as I am for Stefanski to get his shot, he spent more than a decade in the Vikings offensive system or in the Vikings system. He's ready. He's done multiple head coaching interviews. The Cleveland Browns are, again, hiring a guy who doesn't have any head coaching experience. But will this be the restructure? Will this be the reset that the Browns need to turn their organization around? Only time will tell. But that also dropped this weekend. So nonstop on social media. It's been crazy. A-Law Radio again, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We will get to your phone calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up at the top of next hour, we will head to Lambeau Field, where we did not get the snow. I wasn't disappointed because football in January at Lambeau Field is still awesome to see it back there again for the first time in 3 years. And to have these two quarterbacks and these two teams with the tradition that they bring in. The Packers have a long and storied tradition, Curly Lambeau and everything else that the Packers organization represents. But the Seahawks, of course, have won a Super Bowl more recently. And so you had all of this kind of coming together in the NFC divisional round. And so even without the snow, I still loved seeing the breath coming out of the players' mouths and the hats that they were wearing. I have, actually. It was a gift from a family member, a Packers knit hat. And so it was a fun way to cap the weekend. Because we did have the drama, and to hear Aaron Rodgers say after the game, I'm not even sure the fans were convinced. I thought the fans doubted that we could hold off the Seahawks a little bit. He still carried around that chip on his shoulder. So I want to hear from you. What will you remember and take away from these four games on divisional weekend? Really psyched to talk football with you. I've been feeling that excitement, that adrenaline rush over the last few hours as I was finishing up my notes and driving into work and just thinking about all the different things we want to cram into this show. I have a lot of moments that I'll remember, and I've been writing them down. So I want to hear from you, and we will compare notes, so to speak. So Seahawks at Packers, we'll go backwards as we always do when it comes to the playoffs. This game starting a little bit later. So it was even colder, darker there in Green Bay. And it was fun to see it under the lights as well. And early on, it seemed like the Packers could do whatever they wanted offensively. They scored on the opening drive with this precision passing from Aaron Rodgers, but also Aaron Jones. What does he do on the very first offensive snap of the game? He takes off for 23 yards. P.S. Aaron Jones, not Aaron Rodgers, is the story of the 2019 season for the Packers. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is still great. But Aaron Jones is what has made the difference in Matt LaFleur's first season. And also the health of Devontae Adams. That really provided a spark. As he has come back and got healthy and gotten back into a groove, you can see how much Aaron Rodgers trusts him and also what a difference he makes. Because once he gets downrange and downwind of you, you are in trouble defensively.
Here's the snap, rushes on. He looks, he lofts. Left side, yes. Devontae's got a touchdown on an over-the-shoulder grab in the corner of the north end zone. And the Packers take the lead on a 20-yard touchdown pass. They beat Ugo Amadi. Ball to the left hash mark, 40-yard line of Seattle. Rodgers under center, single back offense. Jones the lone back, fake to Jones. Rodgers deep drop looking. Pops it over the left side. Devontae wide open. Outside the numbers 20. Cuts it back right past Flowers. 10 to the 5 to the end zone. High stepping. Touchdown. Devontae Adams. 40 yards.
Devontae Adams is, as Aaron Rodgers talked about, the piece that can really extend their offense. So yes, they have focused on that run game and establishing the run game with Aaron Jones. But in addition, once Devontae Adams got healthy, it gave them the baseline with Aaron Jones, but also the ability to get the big chunk plays again with Devontae Adams. And then what does that do? But it opens up opportunities for other guys like Jimmy Graham, who we saw against his former team, come up with a few huge plays of his own. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Wayne Larrivee on the Packers radio network. In the first half, as the Packers were building this lead, they go 3-for-3 in the red zone. And they limit the Seahawks to only a half dozen first downs. And over in this game, the theme is the ineptitude of the Seahawks on third down. And actually, if you look at the disparity between what the Packers did on third down offensively and what the Seahawks did, there's one big reason right there why the Packers did not trail in this game. However, Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson, and he's still got some weapons of his own, even though they lost their top three running backs. To bring Marshawn Lynch onto the roster again, he's got fresh legs, he's got a healthy body, gives them different looks at the goal line. But really, the tide started to turn in the third quarter because Russell Wilson had room to operate. Every single time it looked like the Packers were about to bring him down, he would escape, he would elude the tackle, he would either take off on foot, or he would extend the play long enough to be able to find one of his receivers. And could you see how tired the Packers defense got? It wasn't even like it was huge plays, but we're not talking about a 40-yard touchdown pass to Devontae Adams where they're chasing him down. No, we're just talking about the stress and the physical work required to try to keep track of Russell Wilson. And you could see that they were worn out. And so he would scramble or he would find room to maneuver and throw. And they end up with not just a pair of third quarter touchdowns, but also as the defense is forcing Green Bay into shorter possessions there in the second half, Seattle's able to score another touchdown. Now, without the two-point conversion, they still were 5 points shy. And then you could understand why there was some tension at Lambeau Field. A couple of the moments that I'll take away from this game were actually on the defensive side of the ball. So each team had this shining defensive moment in the fourth quarter. Shaquem Griffin, who has his twin brother there on the Seahawks, Shaquem, who does not have a hand on his left arm, he gets his first career sack, and he does it against Aaron Rodgers on third down. And so that moment was awesome. And I don't know if you saw the camera angle. There was one camera angle that Fox replayed in which Aaron Rodgers is kind of trudging off the field with his head down, and behind him, the Griffin brothers are doing their whole handshake to celebrate the sack. So then Seattle gets the ball back. And again, the Green Bay defense is worn out. They look like they are hanging on by a thread. And yet,
three wide for Wilson. Shotgun snap. Drops back three. Look out from behind. Down he goes. Set at the Seattle 35. And who else? Preston Smith came in and devoured the Seattle quarterback. Fifth Green Bay sack. And now the Seattle punting unit takes the field, and the clock is passing. 3 minutes to play in the fourth, and the Packers lead by five.
The weary Packers defense needed that stop so badly. And Preston Smith took the scenic route. He took the long way around. He was forced outside, and he still got to Russell Wilson. Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One radio network. Now, it still required a couple of third down passes for Aaron Rodgers to keep the ball away from Seattle. But that Preston Smith sack was the last time the Seahawks touched the ball. And the Packers survive and advance 28-23. So a lot of post-game reaction. We'll get 160 yards receiving for Devontae Adams, which is a franchise playoff record. Think about the playoff games and the playoff moments that the Green Bay Packers have had in their history. But Adams with 160 yards was certainly locked in. He also had the two touchdowns that you heard. Rodgers finished up with a modest 243 yards. But the big thing is he didn't turn the ball over. The Packers didn't turn the ball over. They have really took good care of the ball all season, but that's what has been a huge difference from a year ago, is how well they've protected the football. Their defense has created more takeaways. Their offense has been even stingier with the football. And so what a capper to the weekend. We'll let you hear all the post-game reaction from Lambeau. And then top of the hour, you want to know what Yellow Weasel is, don't you? Mm-hmm. You want to get the deets behind Yellow Weasel that was trending on Twitter during the game. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What are the moments that you'll remember, the moments that you'll take away from this divisional round of the playoffs, just when you think it can't get any better? And as a friend texted me on Sunday afternoon, what do I know? He had made all these like strong predictions. It just shows you that I don't know anything about football. But that's the point. You can predict and you can guess, but the NFL just shuffles the deck every weekend, and it's something new. It's why we're constantly seeing history. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Rodgers in the shotgun, takes the snap, rushes on, lofts it over the right side. Devontae, over the shoulder, catch, got out of bounds, cross the 50. First down, Green Bay, the 46-yard line of Seattle. Rodgers in the shotgun, three receivers right, Devontae left, snap to Rodgers, blitz on, he throws it over the middle. Jimmy Graham's got it, stumbling close to the first down. He's got the first down from right to left. Between the numbers, he goes down to the left side. 36-yard line of Seattle, first and 10, gain of 9. Oh, that was huge.
These are the moments that you work for and you think about in the offseason, the chance to put a game away. And like I've said, you know, most of the year, as you guys have talked about, the aesthetics of our wins, it doesn't have to be pretty. But what we've done is closed out games the right way.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The Packers return to the NFC Championship game for the first time in 3 years, and they get a date with the San Francisco 49ers again. Now, you may remember, they just played the Niners in the last, what, 7 weeks, 8 weeks? It's been a significant enough period of time that you would expect both teams, not just the Packers, but both teams have changed a little bit, maybe even gotten better. Now they've got a playoff win under their belts, and so they have that experience as well. And the way that the Niners defense played in their game on Saturday, which we will get to, woo! You wonder if the points will be as hard to come by as they were for Green Bay in their regular season matchup. If you don't remember, the Packers scored 8 points. They were shut out in the first half, and they scored 8 points. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So Devontae Adams, a franchise playoff record, 160 yards, a couple of touchdowns there as well. He had some huge plays that lit the crowd on fire, but also came at the most opportune moments for Green Bay.
Tonight reminds me of the connection that Jordy and I had for so many years, where there were some unspoken things that we could do without even, you know, communicating anything about it. And Devontae made 3 or 4 plays like that tonight.
Aaron Rodgers had the 2 touchdown passes to Devontae Adams, went 16 of 27 for 243 yards. But the balanced offense certainly has been a sign that this team is different. This team under Matt LaFleur is different. And we will welcome Packers insider Wes Hodkowitz just after the top of the hour. He's been writing at Lambeau Field and trying to get all of his stories filed, including one on Devontae Adams. So he'll join us, and we'll talk about the changes under Matt LaFleur. How is it that they can change coaches? And certainly they've added some personnel. Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith on the defensive side of the ball have been huge for the Packers this year. But what major changes did LaFleur make that really flipped the organization on its head? Because there are a lot of faces that were there last year when Mike McCarthy got fired. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, as for Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, the Seattle Seahawks, they had put themselves in these situations all year long where they either had to rally or where they didn't put together a complete game. And because of that, it was close, it was tight, there was tension, On the road, they had been 8-1 this year, but they hadn't won at Lambeau Field since Russell Wilson was 10. Still, even though that streak continues, Wilson remains positive.
To be the quarterback of this football team, the leader of this football team with guys like Bobby Wagner, one of the best linebackers to ever play the game, I really believe we're just beginning, and it starts with the young guys. It starts with guys like DK Metcalf and what he was able to do this year. It starts to Cody Barton, a guy who's going to be a great player for us, and so many other young guys across the board.
I'm so proud of this team. I mean, this is this team. The fans that follow us and watch us, they know, and you've seen this. And I hope at home that as it started happening, you can imagine it happening again, because we surely did. And I hope that it conveyed to the people that follow us and the 12s and the great following that we have.
A little bit muddy there with Pete Carroll, but the two of them are like peas in a pod. They remain positive, optimistic, already thinking about how this was the foundation for what's to come next season and beyond. And honestly, the last 2 years for the Seattle Seahawks have been not rebuilding. They haven't had to do that, but they have turned over a ton of their personnel, from coordinators and coaches to the roster itself. Remember, the Legion of Boom is gone. A lot of the guys that Russell Wilson has had around him, that's changed. They lost 3 running backs and still somehow managed to win a playoff game and get to the divisional round. So certainly there is a lot of reason for optimism. And yet they have played kind of fast and loose all season long, and they put themselves in some situations where you were stunned when they were able to climb out of them and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. But against a better team in a place so difficult to play, they got behind early and weren't able to come all the way back. Marshawn Lynch may or may not play football again. This may or may not have been his last game. He didn't really address that in his post-game press conference, but he did have some words of wisdom to pass along to younger players.
Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the fuck you want to. So I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals. Because, look, we ain't lasting that long. I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, ready to walk away. You walk away and you be able to do what you want to do. But I appreciate it. Thank y'all. I have a good day.
He is classic. There's no one else out there like Marshawn Lynch. Okay, Chris and Kevin are behind the double pane glass. I'm going to let you in on a conversation that Chris and I had before the show. This was me. Did he say, take care of y'all chicken? Chris is like, yep. Chris, what does that mean? You're the millennial in the room. What the heck does that mean?
By the other millennial, the younger millennial in the room.
I don't know that Kevin is a millennial. Kevin may be Gen Z. So Kevin's filling in for Dave tonight. He's not feeling well. So Kevin is with us, and we appreciate him coming in on late notice. So Chris and I have no idea what that means. Take care of y'all chicken. What is the chicken supposed to represent? I was a little worried that it might be another term for ding ding. Remember, he used to use that term all the time. So I was like, worried, is that he's talking about taking care of the family jewels? But you're telling me that's not what it means.
No, in Marshawn Lynch's world, you can tell he means money. When saying,
how can you tell?
In Marshawn Lynch's world. And
whatever, you don't operate in that world. So how do you know that's what he means?
Just by how he was giving the advice and how he was talking. Like, take care of yourself, take care of your bread. He did say that.
You Googled it, didn't you?
No, I listened to the clip.
I listened to it, too.
He also said take care of your bread. As on top of that, it means money. And, a lot of players in the past, going back to, like, Jamal Adams, Vince Young, all fall for bankruptcy. Marshawn Lynch is a very smart guy. I believe that. And what he was doing, take care of your chicken, take care of your money.
Okay, but I'm just going to need some confirmation other than you. It's not that I don't trust you.
I have it.
You have confirmation.
MarketWatch.com, a very reputable financial website. Marshawn Lynch has some financial advice for younger players. Take care of y'all chicken.
I know I can't pull it off, but I just want to use the line because it's so great. We need to have that as a drop, Kevin. So go to work. Now that you've explained what that means, take care of y'all chicken. That's going to be a staple on the show. MarketWatch.com is telling you to listen to Marshawn Lynch. Oh, my goodness. I'm surprised he didn't drop anything about Skittles. Anyway, this was classic Marshawn, but we have no word on his future. What are the moments that you will take away besides take care of y'all chicken from a divisional round of the NFL playoffs? Now, coming up, it was a stunner of epic proportions. The early game. How in the world? I don't care if you take care of y'all chicken. How in the world do you go from 24 points up in the first quarter? Well, early second quarter, 24 points up in the first half, to trailing at halftime, to getting blown out. Seriously, we saw that happen in one football game. Chiefs, Texans, history, wild. I don't believe it. If I didn't see it, I wouldn't have believed it. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. What will you remember from this weekend in the NFL?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
On fourth down and four, and it's a fake. Reed running to the right side, and Reed's going to be short at the 34-yard line. He doesn't make it.
Now, I agree with being aggressive, but when you have a 24-7 lead, sometimes just having a drive end in a kick is okay.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
A lot of people are pointing to that moment in the Texans-Chiefs game as the turning point. So if there's a moment that you might remember from this AFC divisional battle, could it be that moment? With 8.5 minutes to go in the second quarter, the Texans still sitting on a 24-7 lead. Mark Vandermeer and company on the Houston Texans radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I have a lot of moments that I'll remember from this weekend and some that I'm excited to share with you, but I want to hear from you too. What will you take away from what was an even better second round of the NFL postseason? So Texans and Chiefs, the early game on Sunday, and it was a wild start. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that was thinking back to a week ago when it was the opposite for the Texans. So often this season, they've had really poor starts. And last week, they got shut out in the first half of their playoff game at home. And yet against Buffalo, they don't score until late in the third quarter, and they still come back and they win in overtime. So this is the complete opposite in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium, one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. It's 21-0 after the opening quarter. Why? Well, Kansas City looked a lot like Baltimore did to start out. Sloppy, rusty, out of sync. There were a pair of drops on third down in that first quarter, one of them by Travis Kelce, who pretty much caught everything else in the game. There was a block punt, a fumbled punt by Tyreek Hill, and then with the field goal to start the second quarter for Houston, the Texans are up 24-0. It was astounding. And I don't know how many people out there thought this game is over or this game is done. But we know the Texans have been inconsistent all season. And what else do we know? The Chiefs have the ability to strike quickly, fast and hard and quickly. We've seen them do it a lot since Pat Mahomes became their starting quarterback. So Kansas City finally finds that life early in the second quarter They get a really long kick return, a couple of quick passes, and boom, Damian Williams is into the end zone first for the Chiefs. Little did we know that would start a streak of seven possessions in a row, ending in a touchdown for the Chiefs. But in the second quarter alone, they score on four straight drives. And no one at that point is going to remember that Travis Kelce dropped a reception on third down in the first quarter.
Mahomes takes the snap, steps up, being pressured, fires it, late, caught, Kelce dives, touchdown, Kansas City on the near side. The Kansas City Chiefs have scored two touchdowns in a span of 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Sprint out action to the right side, Mahomes holding it, now fires it late, Kelce gets into the end zone, turning his left shoulder, touchdown, Kansas City, 20 points in lightning fashion by the Kansas City Chiefs. Great protection, and Travis Kelce is tearing the Texans up. Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelce with another catch on a sprint-out run-pass option again! And Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Some fantastic calls from Mitch Holtis, who I will give credit to, never lost his enthusiasm even when the Texans were up 24-0. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Travis Kelce, the first player with three receiving touchdowns in a single quarter of a playoff game in the Super Bowl era. And he was fantastic. The Texans had absolutely no answer. Even when they had three players draped on him, they still had no answer for the Chiefs tight end. So everything flipped in that second quarter. The Chiefs score on four consecutive drives in that second quarter alone, and they get short fields. Why? A botched fake punt by the Texans. We talked about that moment at 8.5 minutes to go. A fumble on a kickoff by DeAndre Carter. It was like they had completely switched sidelines. And it was a tale of two quarters. How does a team lead 24-0 at the start of a quarter and then trail 14 minutes later? How does that happen? Patrick Mahomes with the four touchdowns in the first half. And it's almost hard to believe that he has to have surgery for his dislocated kneecap after the season is over. But he was fired up. He was running up and down the field. As you can imagine, the crowd really whipped into a frenzy. And then to see him kind of encouraging the crowd even more, just amazing. Pat, only the second player in history with four touchdown passes in a single quarter of a postseason game. And I cannot for the life of me understand how come the Texans did not expect the counterpunch. You know the phrase, punch, counterpunch. They delivered the first punch. It staggered the Chiefs. It did not knock them out. There was way too much time left in the game, and the Chiefs have the quick strike ability. They had to know. The Texans had to know the counterpunch was coming. But it knocked them out. How did that happen? It knocked them out. They became the team that was making mental mistakes and errors and miscues, and they never recovered. They had a 24-point cushion, and they couldn't protect it. And Kansas City picks up that same pace in the third quarter. They have a couple of touchdowns on their first two possessions, and I am still trying to wrap my brain around 41 unanswered points. 41 unanswered points. See what I mean? If all you see is the final score, you don't know what you missed. And so the question had to be asked after the fact. J.J. Watt, good a place to start as any on the defensive side of the ball. What in the world?
Beginning of the game was exactly how you would write it up, if you could possibly write it up in a script. I mean, you go up 24-0 on the road in a tough environment, and special teams are making great plays, and then it all fell apart.
Yeah, well, that certainly is true. It just seemed like once the Chiefs got into that rhythm, got into that flow, which you, again, you had to know that was coming. Even if it was all garbage time, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's just garbage time. You cannot put the ball in the reigning MVP's hands, watch him get into that rhythm and groove, and think you're safe. And I don't even know that the Texans believe that the game was over. I don't think they're that naive, short-sighted. They've played these kind of games all year that have been roller coasters. Why? Well, because they've been inconsistent. But how do they not take that counterpunch, stand in, and say, you know what? We should still have confidence. All we have to do is take care of our business, and they're not going to come back. We've built ourselves that much of a cushion. Houston finally got back on the scoreboard with Deshaun Watson's TD run late in the third quarter. But they were trailing by 10 after the third quarter, and they lost by 20. You want a nerd alert? I know that you do. The Chiefs are the first team in NFL history to win a playoff game by 20 points after trailing in that same game by 20 points. It has never happened before. Once again, history in the NFL playoffs.
Didn't want to be in that spot, but the biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was, let's go do something special. Let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. Let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there. And I mean, obviously, I knew as a team, we had to kind of, everything had to go the right way, but I thought the defense stepped up, special teams stepped up. I knew we were killing ourselves. I think that was the biggest thing. The first drive, I think they had a messed up on the coverage, and they got a touchdown, their defense. And as an offense, we had that third down, threw it to Kelce, who, I mean, caught everything except for that one pass. And he made a play that he usually catches 1,000 times, and then block punt, they score a touchdown, and then it kind of just snowballed.
Yeah, you could say that again. It definitely did snowball. And so the Chiefs, as the number two seed, remember they played in week 17, they played their guys because they wanted to, if possible, grab the two seed should the Patriots stumble against the Dolphins, which they did. And so they had the tie break, they earned the two seed. This is the first time in Chiefs franchise history that they're going to back-to-back AFC championship games. And you can imagine they're looking for a bit of redemption considering they lost in overtime against the Patriots just 12 months ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So Mahomes finishes up 23 of 35, 321 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, no sacks, no turnovers. It's almost like the first quarter didn't happen. And honestly, they didn't really need the first quarter, did they? They just raised the degree of difficulty. Travis Kelce, 10 catches, 134 yards, and 3 touchdowns, all of them in the second quarter. And listen to this. You want a stat that blows my mind that I'm sure will blow your mind too? The Chiefs scored 51 points. They beat the Texans by 20, even though Houston had the ball for 10 minutes longer than Kansas City did. It's incredible. I mean, it might have been the craziest game I've ever seen, but you know what? I feel like I say that every year. So we are set up for championship weekend. This time, no Saturday games coming up. Instead, it's going to be a pair of games next Sunday. Titans at the Chiefs, the lone wild card team surviving. The Titans at the Chiefs at 3:05 Eastern time. That's 2:05 Kansas City time, followed by Packers at the 49ers in the Bay Area. Championship Sunday all set up. We're heading to Lambeau next. Yellow Weasel, baby. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.